will you open your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, chapter 22. And we gather here tonight to worship our Lord at the table of the Lord. And this blessed ordinance was given to the church by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In Luke chapter 22, we'll begin reading with verse 7. This was the day that the Passover was to be slain. This was shortly before our Lord went to the cross. And He met with His disciples in the upper room to keep the Passover feast. It says in verse 7, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And He sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat.' And they said unto Him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare?' And He said unto them, 'Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready.' And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, 'With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" Perhaps someone here tonight would say, "What is the Passover? What is the Passover?" Well, for that information, we turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Now, Israel was down in Egypt. They went down there, a band of 70, and now they were 2 or 3 million. And they had been there for about 400 years in captivity, in bondage, in slavery. And our God would deliver His people from the bondage of Egypt. But Pharaoh would not let them go. So the Lord sent His servant Moses down into Egypt to deliver the people. And He sent plague upon plague upon plague, and still Pharaoh would not let them go. And finally in chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb." Now note carefully the instructions that Moses gave to Israel, and you'll learn what is the Passover. Every man, number one, take a lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. If a household be too little, too few people, for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house. In other words, if there's just a few people in that house, all of them together cannot eat the lamb. It's got to all be eaten. So you and the neighbor next door get a lamb between you, but only take what you can eat. Take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now here's the second instruction. And he said, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." Not to be a sickly lamb, not to be a frail lamb, not to be a worthless lamb. It's to be the best lamb, firstling of the flock. It's to be without blemish, without disease. It's to be a perfect lamb. And then thirdly, it's to be a male, and it's to be a young male. It's not to be an old sheep that's been around a long time and about to die and worthless to you, but you shall take the perfect lamb, the spotless lamb, without blemish, and a male in the prime of his life. And you shall take it from among the sheep or from the goats. And here's the next instruction. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day. Now that's 4 days, 3.5 or 4 days. You're to put that lamb in a pen, the male of the first year without spot or blemish, and you're to observe it. Make sure it's not sick, nothing wrong with it. Make sure it does not fail the test. Observe it for almost 4 days. And then you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it. The lamb is to be slain. It shall be killed in the evening. And you shall take the blood. Now watch this. And you shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts of the houses where you live, and also on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night. Put the blood on the door. Roast him with fire. The lamb's not to be eaten raw. It's to be roasted with fire. It's to be eaten with unleavened bread. It's to be eaten with bitter herbs. Verse 9, don't eat it raw. Don't mix it with anything. You don't mix the blood of Christ with your works or law. Don't mix it with gravy or water. Roast it with fire, his head, his legs, and with the pertness thereof, the inner parts. Let nothing of it remain. The whole lamb, not just part of the lamb, but the whole lamb is to be eaten. That which remaineth of it unto the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, staff in your hand, ready to go, eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. Lord's Passover. Now watch the next verse. For I will pass through the land of Egypt. Nothing said about a death angel. God doesn't send a messenger to do his work. He does it. In judgment, God deals with men himself. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the princes, rulers of Egypt, idols of Egypt, whatever, I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. But the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. This is going to be the separation between life and death. This is going to be the difference between deliverance and condemnation. This is going to be the difference between God's mercies and God's wrath. The blood. Nothing else. Not good intentions, not promises, not works, not your ancestors, not what you used to be, not what you meant to be, not what you're going to do someday, but right now, watch it. And when I see the blood, not when you see it, approve of it, or your neighbor sees it, he says, when I see it. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over. There it is. I will pass over. It's the Lord's Passover. I will pass over you. And the plague and the judgment and the overflowing scourge of God's wrath and death shall not be upon you. Why? You're under the blood of Jesus. Safe in the shepherd's fold. Under the blood of Jesus. Safe while the ages roll. Safe though the worlds may crumble. Safe though the stars grow dim. Under the blood. Only under the blood of Jesus. I'm secure in him. And now the plague will not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day, now this is why the disciples and our Lord gathered together in this upper room, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And you'll keep it, you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and you'll keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Forever. Now there's a sense in which, as these believers here, and the believers, our Lord and his disciples, you and I, in one sense, are partaking of the Lord's Passover tonight. Because the Lord Jesus, our Lamb, and our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now you turn to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And that's what Paul says over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Listen. He says in verse 7, 1 Corinthians 5, "Purge out therefore the old leaven. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us." Now turn back to Luke 22. This right here that we're witnessing in the Word, that we're reading, is the last Passover as such. The last Passover, lamb slain, roasted, blood applied, lamb eaten. This is the last Passover right here. "For Christ our Passover is to be sacrificed that next day." Now, from then on, from this point right here on, it's the Lord's table. Now listen, in verse 15 of Luke 22, "And he said to them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." No more Passover feast. I suffer. "And he took the, and for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, take this, and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and brake it, and gave it to them. He gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, if you'll just hold that right there, let me go back. You don't have to, but let me go back here to Exodus and read you a passage here in Exodus 12. Now, listen. The Lord gave them the Passover. Here they were in Egypt, slavery and bondage. He's about to deliver them out, which is a picture of his delivering us out of sin and darkness and death and bondage and slavery. And he gives them the lambs. Take a lamb, so forth, slay it, roast it with fire, eat it, put the blood on the doorpost, and I'll pass over you when I see the blood. Now, you observe this piece on down, ages to generations once a year. "And it shall come to pass when you come to the land of Canaan, which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what do you mean by this service? What do you mean by killing a lamb and roasting it with fire and on this certain day and eating it? What do you mean by this service and the sacrifice, the Passover? Then you shall say to your children, this is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. And this is what our Lord's saying here. Now look at Luke 22:19. "And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Now this do." This do. Not that anymore. I'm the fulfillment of that. I'm the fulfillment of the, I'm the lamb. Now let's go back. You hold that right there. Let me show you something. Our Lord told Israel to take a lamb. Christ is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist pointed to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God. There's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Isaiah 53 said he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. Christ is the Lamb. The Lamb was to be without spot or blemish. Our Lord knew no sin. He had no sin. There was no guile or sin in him. He was in the prime of his life. Our Lord was 33 and a half years old when he died on the cross. He didn't die of old age or sickness. He died in the full health and prime of his life. He was kept up not 4 days, but several years. And he was tried by heaven and tried by the Word and tried by Satan and tried by men and tried by demons and tried by everyone who found to be perfect. And then on the cross of Calvary, he was slain. He was slain. And I'll show you how the blood is put on even now the doorpost by faith, and how we eat his flesh and drink his blood, and how this is the Lord's Passover. Now, this is what he said. "Listen, this is my body, which is given for you.
This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant, new testament, new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. You see, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. His blood maketh atonement for the soul. Through Christ we have now received at one month atonement. His blood cleanseth us from all sin. His blood speaketh better things than that of Abel. His blood hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. His blood gives us boldness to enter, yea, into the holiest of all. His blood makes us kings and priests unto God. And by his blood we overcome. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. So he tells his disciples here as much to say, there's no more Passover feast. There's no more sacrifices. There's no more lambs to be slain. Our Lord takes the bread and said, this is my body. And he takes the cup and says, this is my blood. Now, this do ye as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 11. Then the Apostle Paul, our apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles, the one whom God saved and called and sent to be an apostle to the Gentiles, to us. The Apostle Paul gives this ordinance from his Lord to the Gentile churches. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, listen to him. Listen to him. He instructs the church in the observance of the Lord's table. He instructs us. You say, how are we to observe the Lord's table? Here it is. When are we to observe the Lord's table? Here it is. In what manner are we to observe the Lord's table? Here it is. What are we to use at the Lord's table? Here it is. Paul passes it on to the church, just like the Lord gave it to his disciples, the simplicity of it, the elements of it, meaning of it. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, he says this, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, how that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Unleavened bread. We use unleavened bread because leaven is a type of evil. And our Lord's body has no evil therein. I would no more use leavened bread at the Lord's table than I'd sprinkle for baptism. Because water's available. And we use unleavened bread. It's the Lord's body. There's no need changing it, is it? He said, this do. Purge out the old leaven for Christ our Passover sacrifice for. Leaven. When the Jewish home observed the Passover, there wasn't any leaven in that home. No yeast. No leaven in that home. It was all cleaned out. Specifically cleaned out. God ordered it cleaned out. And when we come to the Lord's table, it's the responsibility of the pastor, the leader of the church, to provide the elements the Lord told us to provide. If you have to bake it yourself. But it's unleavened bread. That's what he says. All right, he took bread, and he broke it. This symbolizes the breaking of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. His bones were not broken, but this symbolizes his suffering. And he said, take, eat. This is my body. This represents my broken body, my body broken for you, and do it, not in order to be saved, not in order to be sanctified. Not do it in order to bring the church together in unity. You do it in remembrance of me. There it is. This do. This do. Not something else. This do. In remembrance of me. And he took the cup. And this after the same manner he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant. New covenant in my blood. This do ye. This do ye. And this cup is wine. It's fermented wine, because wine is a picture of the pure and holy and perfect blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why use wine? Because it pictures the pure blood of Christ. It will not spoil. You can put wine back there and leave it there for years and years and years and years. It won't spoil. Grape juice will spoil. And it cannot be a picture of Christ. We use wine and unleavened bread for the same reason that we picture death, burial, and resurrection by immersion in water. It's the way the Word gives it. John was baptizing in Enon because there was much water there. You got to have much water to baptize, just like you got to have a big hole to bury people. They got to be covered over. And the same thing with the Lord's table. Why do otherwise when he said this do? This do. It's a simple feast. It's a simple feast. Our Lord gathered his disciples and they observed the Passover. They picked it up back yonder. God's deliverance, God's salvation, God's miraculous deliverance, God's love for Israel, God lifting them out, and as he brings them out of slavery and bondage and captivity, he shows how he delivers all sinners. This is the way God saves all sinners. This is the way God redeems men. This is the way God delivers all men out of bondage. He does it by the power of his might. He does it by the blood of his son. He does it through the sacrifice of Christ. He could have brought Israel out of Egypt some other way, but not showing his mercy in Christ. And that's what you're doing all the way down this Passover till now. And our Lord Jesus gathered his disciples, and he takes the unleavened bread that they used at the Passover. No leaven, no evil. And he breaks it. And shows his suffering and his agony, his broken, his body was broken, bruised, but, and he broke it. He said, this is my body. And he said, you eat it. And you do it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread, you show the Lord's death till I come. See what he said? And then he took the cup, the wine at the Lord's table, and he poured it in a cup. And he handed the cup to the disciples. Very simple, isn't it? And he said, this is my blood. Symbolic. It's not actually his blood. His blood was still in his veins. He hadn't died yet. But this is symbolic, representative of my blood. This element represents my blood. Now you drink it, all of it. And you do it. Why? In remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. Why do something else? That's what I can't ever figure. Well, preachers sit around and argue, why use this? He said to. Why not use this? He didn't tell you to. Why not do what he says? That's what I never can figure out. Why not do what he says? It's very simple. He chose the two simplest elements we have, bread and wine. Why not do it like he said? You know, the religious world has many thoughts and opinions about the observance of the Lord's table. There are many opinions. Opinions not hard to come by. You can get an opinion most anywhere. Understanding is hard to come by. Opinion comes off the top of our heads. Understanding is revealed to the heart of the Spirit of God. That's where it comes from. Understanding. To some people, this is a mere religious ritual. God have mercy on their souls. Can you imagine the disciples sitting there around that table when their Lord was about to go and suffer and bleed and die, sitting there with indifference and carelessness and just looking upon that as another religious ritual as he broke that bread and crushed it and said, this is my body. As he took that wine and that wine was squeezed from the grapes, trampled from the grapes, separated from the grape, which means death, and put in a vessel. If your wine, John Chapman, was put in a vessel tonight, you're dead. And that's what that is. This is my blood. And that to them was no ritual. Meaningful. And God have mercy on anybody to whom this is a ritual. And then to some people, this is nothing more than a church fellowship supper. I've asked preachers, have you observed the Lord's table lately? No. Why not? Church not in unity. But if you wait for every human being to get in unity, you'll never observe the Lord's table. There's no unity in this flesh. The unity's in Christ. Christ's body's in unity. It's never out of unity. It's always in union. To some people, this is a sacrament. But what is it to us? All right. One verse, 1 Corinthians 10. I'll show you in one verse of Scripture what this is. 1 Corinthians 10. This is what it is. This is what it is. Verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless.
Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break. Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? You know, we read a lot in the Bibles about cups. This cup of blessing. Now look at this. This cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We read about various cups. Our Lord talked in Gethsemane about his cup of suffering. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He talks about the cup of our suffering. He said to his disciples one day, said, can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism wherewith I am baptized? Oh, yeah, you'll drink of the cup. You will. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer at one time or other, maybe many times. And then there's the cup of service. Our Lord said this about a cup. He said, whosoever giveth a cup of cold water to a believer in my name shall not lose his reward. And then there's the cup of God's wrath. I read over here in Revelation 14. It talks about Revelation 14. Listen to this, verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Oh, cups. You could go on and on. The cup of his suffering. The cup of our suffering. The cup of service. The cup of his wrath. But Paul says here, this is a cup of blessing. This is a cup of blessing. David called it the cup of salvation. Look over in Psalms 116. David calls it the cup of salvation. Be patient with me a few moments. Psalm 116. Listen to this. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I'll take the cup. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I'll take it. I'll tell you this about this cup of blessing. He gave it at the table there. He took the cup and gave it to the disciples. He gave it. Is his cup he gave to them. And secondly, he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. I make all things new. All things new. Nothing added to what you already have. Behold, I make all things new. This is the new covenant in my blood. And then David said this. He said, my cup's running over. It's full and sufficient that it runs over. So this cup of blessings, he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly. All right, look at the next phrase here. This cup of blessing which we bless. Which we bless. What does it mean, we bless it? We know the Lord Jesus blessed it, but we bless it. The Lord Jesus blessed it and gave it to his disciples. But tonight, some of us are going to bless it. You see what I'm saying? We bless this cup. We bless. How do we bless it? Well, several ways. Number one, we bless it when we set it apart. This is no ordinary cup, Gerald. This is no ordinary feast. This is no ordinary meal. This is special. This cup represents the blood of our Master. It's special. This cup we bless. We set it apart. And then secondly, we bless it by faith. We bless it by faith. No one is to take this cup tonight who does not believe and discern the broken body and shed blood of Christ. That's right. We bless it by setting it apart. We bless it by faith. No one is to take it who does not discern the broken body and shed blood of Christ. And then thirdly, we bless it by prayer. He took the cup and gave thanks. Didn't he say that? And gave thanks. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. thanks be to God, with supplications, thanksgiving to God. And then we bless it, fourthly, by meditation and discernment. He says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. When we take that cup, we meditate upon it and examine ourselves and see if we will discern the broken body and shed blood of our Lord. Meditation. We bless it with meditation and discernment. And then fifthly, we bless it by consecration and perseverance. Keep this peace till I come. I'm not coming to this table tonight and never again. I'm coming again and again and again. And as often as you do this, how often? He didn't say. You think we ought to take it every Lord's Day? If you wish. Well, don't you think we ought to take it at least once a month? If you wish. How about every quarter? If you wish. Why would we bind burdens upon men that God didn't bind? He didn't say. He's never said. He just said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show my death until I come. As often as you do it with discernment and understanding. And we bless it. We bless this cup by setting it apart. We bless this cup by true, sincere faith in Christ Jesus. We bless this cup by prayer. We bless this cup by meditation and consecration. And we bless this cup by perseverance. We'll continue. And I'll tell you this, if you look back at verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 10, just behind our text, it says, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I'll serve no other God. Flee from idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Putting anything where it ought not to be is idolatry. All right, let's look back at the text. This cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The word communion, there's the key. The word communion. This cup of blessing, is it not the communion? What is the word communion with reference to a believer in Christ? What does it mean? Let me give you two or three things. Communion. First of all, it means a union with Christ. It means intimate relationship. That's what it means, an intimate relationship. The Scripture says we are one with Christ in His life, in His death, in His resurrection, and we're seated with Him in glory. Our Lord prayed this, I in them and thou in me, that they may be one as we are one. We are one with Christ. What Christ is, we are. What Christ has, we have. Where Christ is, we are. We're one with Christ. He is the head and we're the body. He is the vine and we're the branches. We're one in Christ. Cannot be separated. That's communion. And it's all because of this blood and this broken body. What this wine represents, what this bread represents, is not this the communion, the relationship, the union, the intimate relationship we have with Christ, is it not because of His sacrifice and suffering? Is it not? That's what it is. And when I take, watch this, and when I take this bread, He said, you accept, it's out there on the bulletin board now, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Now this bread here and this wine, this bread which represents His sinless body and this wine which represents His sinless blood, we're taking now into our mouths and into our bodies and into our beings, symbolically representing what we've already done by faith. We receive Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed in you. See that? All right, secondly, this communion is not, this cup of blessing, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The word communion, secondly, means sharing.
It means possession. We are joint heirs with Christ. If God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Do you know why I share in his glory? Because of this cup of blessing. That's why I got no right to it. Like old John Jasper said, if somebody stops me at the gate of heaven and says, John Jasper, what right you got to be here? He said, I'm going to say, I got no right to be here at all. I'm not here on my rights. I'm here on the righteousness of another. And that righteousness was perfected by what he did in the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood. He died that we might be righteous. He lived that we might be righteous. And because of what he did, see, this cup of blessing, is it not our sharing? Is it not our possession of what Christ has bought? Shall God not with him give us? Is this in vain? The general atonement people would tell you that. This might work and it might not. Depends on you. Did he die in vain? Was this body separate, broken in vain? Was this blood shed in vain? Oh, no, 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 no. Never, cannot be. He of God has made unto us all we need, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. This communion, union, intimate relationship, sharing, possession, and I'll tell you this, thirdly, it means fellowship. When we're in communion and when we're communing, we're in fellowship. Not when we're arguing, when we're communing, we're in fellowship. And John said, and our fellowship is with him. And I preach to you that your fellowship might be with him and us. That's fellowship. And you'll find it there. Look in the next verse, verse 17. For we, being many, are one bread and one body. We're one. We're in union with Christ and one another. For we are partakers of that one broken body and that one shed blood. We're in union. We're family. We're one body in Christ. See that? And then this union means this in closing. It means reconciliation. Turn to Romans 5. Now, this is what Charlie read to us, Romans 5. It means reconciliation. It means no more anger, no more warfare, no more penalty, no more condemnation. Romans 5, verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled, brought home, pardoned, forgiven, accepted to God by the death of his Son. How? By what's right here. This cup of blessing, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? What is the communion of the blood of Christ? Union with him. Reconciliation to him. Sharing in him. Possession of him. All that I am or hope to be is right here. It's all right here. If we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being now reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So do you see the profoundness of it and yet the simplicity of it? Profound. God became a man in human flesh, a lamb, a Passover lamb without blemish or spot, and was slain. Here's his broken body and shed blood represented by these simple elements. Simple elements. And yet it takes the revelation of the Holy Spirit for men caught up in their ritualism and tradition and in their do's and don'ts and in the rules and regulations and in the processionals and complicated religion. And our Lord calls his disciples apart while they're down there in the temple going through all of that ritualism and feast days and holy days and broad phylacteries and long robes and chantings and processionals and all these things that made the very table a stumbling block and a snare. And he calls them apart. He takes a simple bread and he breaks it. He said, "It's my body, broken for you." And he takes the cup, he pours the wine, he says, "It's my blood shed for you. It's my blood of the new covenant shed for the remission of your sins. Now you take this bread and eat it. And as oft as you eat it, you show my death till I come." That's how it works, he says. "As oft as you drink this wine, you show my death till he come." But Paul says, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth damnation, and drinketh damnation to his souls." It's no game. It's no ritual. It's experience. This cup of blessing, is it a ritual? No. Is it a tradition? No. Is it a sacrament? No. Is it a form? No. It's the communion of the blood of our Lord. It's the communion, the union, possession, reconciliation, reality. He's more real to me than you are, isn't he? Because we'll decay, and he ever lives. Always has and always will. Can you join with me in taking it in a meaningful manner? Russell, you serve us, will you?